The cat came back because, he just couldn't stay away. And same goes for Fred Penner. He just can't stay away from the microphone and the guitar. I hope that intro worked. Did it work for you, Fred?
It was perfect, Jeremy. It was absolutely perfect.
Fred Penner is joining us on the line. I tried to be clever, but you know what? I should start out by also saying congratulations. 40 years for The Cat Came Back.
Really? Thank you so much.
You know,
who would have thought? Certainly not me.
Well, no, and you know what's incredible is, you know, we chatted a couple of years ago for Air Canada's Dreams Take Flight in Winnipeg, and you did a performance, and grandparents, parents, kids, you know, so many generations knew your songs and were singing along. So what does that feel like, first and foremost?
It is bizarre. When this journey began, I had no real idea how long it would carry me along. And now after 40 years, it doesn't show any signs of stopping. It's a humbling experience, to say the least, to have people sending me emails and talking about specific songs that have made a difference in their lives. You know, songs like Proud or Take Good Care of Each Other or You Can Do It If You Try. I have parents coming up and saying, you know, when my child has trouble doing a certain thing, they'll echo my lyrics and my songs, and that apparently makes some difference in their lives. It's really an amazing personal experience to know that people do connect with my songs and my lyrics and my emotion that deeply, and I'm overwhelmed that it continues.
Why did you start writing children's music? Why performing for kids? And I want to call it family music, but it's kids' music. Why that audience?
Well, it is and it isn't children's music. When it began in the late 70s, my ex-wife and I were doing a children's dance theater company, and we were touring in the school system and public performance in theaters in Winnipeg. And one of the shows that we did was called The Story of Blunder, which is on the first album. And a patron to the Manitoba Theatre Workshop that was over on where the Red River College is now on Princess.
Princess, yeah.
They approached me, asked if I had a record. They liked, because I had written the music for this production, and my ex-wife had choreographed the show. And they asked if I had a record, and I had, you know, no intent at that point of doing a record. I didn't know. I was so new into the business that I'd been touring for a few years with Al Simmons and a band called Cornstalk back in those days, playing mainly the Barn University scene. And then this new direction came along, and so I went back to my roots and thought about songs that I remembered from my own childhood, because this patron had offered to pay for this album. I thought, well, that's an awfully generous gesture, to say the least. So I went back to my childhood, and the songs that I brought forward were not specifically children's songs. Things like Ghost Riders in the Sky was just a good song. It had nice energy to it. The Cat Came Back itself was over 100 years old. And so they were just songs that had resonated with me in my lifetime. And I just brought those forward and threw in a couple of original tunes along the way. And before you knew it, the Cat Came Back record was born. And away you go. Once I was committed to vinyl, then everything snowballed from there.
And that song has been paying the mortgage ever since.
Apparently.
Let me ask you, though, how has, or maybe just has, the way you approach writing for audiences changed over the years? Obviously, we can, you know, we see that listeners consume media in different ways. Is there a different way that you approach connecting with your audience now than when you first started?
I that question has been asked before, and often I'll say, not really. I haven't written a lot of songs for a while. Things have slowed down a bit, mm-hmm. because much of my writing was task-driven. So I would write for Fred Penner's Place, or write for a series called TP Tales, and those songs and those shows, you know, just opened up my ability to to just write songs to task, to the specific script, you know, ideas that were on the page, and not having that program, those programs to drive me, it slowed down a little bit. But what I've always tried to appeal to is the youthful exuberance of the listener, songs that go a little bit deeper and try and energize something that has some value, some sensitive songs, ideas that aren't just superficial, but perhaps go in a little deeper into the listener's mind, so that they take it in on another level. So I over the years, I mean, since the Cat Came Back album, many of my songs have been driven by a real desire to connect with the audience in a more emotional way. You know, still good melodies, good chorus, good structure to the verses, and I think that's been my challenge in life, is to not just take what I do on a superficial level, but the mantra has been, never underestimate your ability to make a difference in the life of a child. So that has driven me. I had a sister who was born with Down syndrome, and I saw as a teenager how deeply music affected her, and so I took that into my heart, and things that I've done along the way and the reactions that people have given to me have given me more and more drive to create things that have, as I said, that have more depth and meaning, and that's always my desire when I'm on stage, when I am creating. I mean, the latest album, Hear the Music, has many songs in there that are on a deeper level as I'm speaking here. So it's understanding for me how valuable this process can be if you do stay focused on it and do try and make it something deeper and more powerful.
Is that what keeps you going? You're far from a one-hit wonder, obviously. You know, you won a Juno last year for Hear the Music, but what is it that keeps you going?
Well, the phone keeps ringing. The audiences are there. I think at this point, as I'm into my senior years and elder statesman, I turned 73 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So I've certainly, you know, I have nothing to prove at this point. And what's happening now is people approach me to speak at different events. So I've done a number of early childhood conferences. Recently, I was at the Victoria Inn in Winnipeg for about 700 people involved in working with special needs children. It was sponsored through the St. Amand Board in Winnipeg, who works with the most physically and mentally challenged people, certainly in Manitoba. So that kind of event comes along. Literacy events come along. And so people are looking to me and asking my opinion and my presentation for things that are deeper, that are powerful. So as we're talking about the multi-generations, those people, those Fredheads, are now moving into their own career worlds of engaging with people who are, what am I saying here, with their own, in their own direction, and making a difference with the people that they work with, like the Down Syndrome Society, like the St. Amand Board. They are using my music in the presentation to the people that they work with. So that thread is complete, and there are many facets of really powerful organizations across the country who are coming back and connecting with me and wanting me to be part of their trip. And I'm more than happy to step up if it's possible, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, when we have legendary artists on our show, the Oak Ridge Boys we just had on about Christmas, and Gloria Gaynor and Petula Clark, and all these people who have had such a long and storied career in music, sort of like you say, is that now it's kind of a time to give back. It's not about making money and becoming famous. You already are. It's about helping the community and doing something positive, right? And that's something that we see with your generation of songwriter and artist. And I hope that we see that with the upcoming generations of music artists. You know, we were talking before going on the air about the state of the music industry. Let me ask, obviously things have changed since 1979, but how do you feel about it today?
It's complicated. You know, I don't know if the... I think because the timing for me to come into the world of working with children and families was so perfect. You know, the 70s was a point of transition. That was when the boomers, the post-war generation, largest demographic to move through life were bringing children into the world, and they were essentially demanding quality entertainment for their kids. So myself and Raffi and Sharon Wilson Braham and Robert Munch and Sesame Street all were spawned from that generation. And it's not the same now. It doesn't have that resonance of really making a difference with a large demographic is not the same these days. So for a young person who wants to step into the world of creating something for children, it takes a while to really understand what that truly means. And I think a lot of young performers coming in are staying just a little bit too much on the superficial side of it. And there's some good music and, you know, certainly lots of fun and lots of color and lots of energy. But that philosophy inside that really needs to come out, that that states to the audience, I'm not doing this just for the fun. I'm not doing this just for hopefully some dollars. I'm doing this because it does have a deeper meaning and value for me as a performer. And it takes a while for that to really become clear, I think, as a performer grows and develops their talent. And I'm hoping that there are more performers who are getting that message and who are starting to bring that to their, you know, to their audiences. And that's only a hope. I haven't seen a lot of that at this point.
Well, you have sustained a very long career, and I know you were telling me that you're looking forward to the year ahead because you've got a whole bunch of tour dates coming up.
It's a little wacky. Yeah, we're starting up. It will ultimately be a national tour sponsored by Live Nation, and I'm really excited that an organization like that is prepared to, you know, put something into the pot to get things rolling for me. But we're starting in February in Saskatchewan, and then going to Ontario, and then back to Manitoba, and then to Alberta, and then some West Coast dates, interior West Coast, and ending off in North Vancouver early April. So there's about 20-25 dates that we're working on, and then in the fall we're hoping to put together an East Coast tour. So it is a major trek, and I do love performing. I like getting up on a stage. I like looking at the audience. I like feeling the energy, and I like offering them, you know, a song for them to participate with. And that's probably one of the strongest words in my vocabulary is participation, because I remember from my own, you know, background with the back in the 60s and the folk scene and all those great songs that were coming forward from Gordon Lightfoot and Joni Mitchell and Cat Stevens and the Beatles. Those were songs that people learned deeply and loved to sing along with. And so that's a huge part of my work is bringing people into the theater to participate, to be part of an experience, so that at the end of it they feel like they have shared in something that is deep and powerful and will stay with them for hopefully years to come.
Completely shifting gears for my final question, I have to know, who was Fred Penner cheering for in the Grey Cup?
Oh, really? You have to ask that question?
Putting you on the spot.
My dad and I, when I was young, we never went to a game together, but we'd sit around the radio. My dad and I, this is back to the Kenny Plains, Daryl Funston, the 60s, Herb Gray, you know, I could probably name off the entire Grey Cup winning team back in that era. And I remember how excited Dad was with the game, so that got right inside of me. And I was part of the Junior Bombers. It was the Junior Bomber Football Club, and we would have rallies every couple of weeks at the Uptown Theater down on Academy Road.
Yeah.
And the players would come down and actually won an autographed football from the 50s, you know, signed by all the players. And you know, it was. I've been a Bomber fan forever, and after 29 years of not winning a cup, I was brought to tears watching the excitement of the rally at the Forks, and hearing the players get up there with such enthusiasm and seeing thousands of people in the audience. It was really an exciting thing to see, and I'm just so happy for Winnipeg and happy for the Bombers. They worked really hard with multiple quarterbacks. It's amazing that they pulled it off.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sorry for that hard-hitting question, Fred, but I had to ask it, okay? Well, your website has all your tour information and all the upcoming details. What is the address for that?
FredPenner.com is my website, and I think all of the dates should be on there by now. I know there's a couple of places that have added second shows already. I know in Saskatoon in February, at the Broadway Theater, we've added a second show there. So the tour is going well. There's some lovely numbers already coming in. So I've got my set list in front of me now. We're working with a company in Winnipeg to create a video component to the show, and I'm just playing with that to see what direction that'll go. So it's going to be a visual and musical experience. I'm hoping to do actually the Cat Came Back album from beginning to end, as people would have remembered it back 40 years ago, and I'm also going to throw in some of the tunes from the latest album and some other songs that I have grown to love over the years, and so we'll see what happens.
Oh, yeah, the legendary Fred Penner. It was so much fun chatting with you. Thanks for joining us today.
Likewise. Thank you, Jeremy. Be well.